You took on a speaking assignment in Durant, Oklahoma, which is known as Little Dixie.
Little Dixie. Didn't mean anything to me. Once again, this guy didn't know much about Oklahoma. I said, sure, I'll speak anywhere. I'll go to Little Dixie.
And tell us what happened.
Well, I got into my old vehicle. I had an affinity for cars that worked sometimes. Didn't have the interstate. And I drove then old winding roads down to southeast Oklahoma. And the closer that I got to Durant, the more I noticed things changing. The vehicles gave way to pickup trucks. Pickup trucks then started having rifle racks or gun racks in the back. I found out later that most of those were loaded. And more cowboy hats. City hats were disappearing. When I got to the place where I was going to talk about open housing in Durant, it's in a funeral home, in the basement of a funeral home, and behind me where I'm speaking is an open casket. Oh, gosh. The symbolism here was just really something. I gave what I thought was my most well-reasoned, best presentation for open housing anywhere. And the only people who seemed to agree with me and laughed at my jokes when there were a few jokes sprinkled in there were the three or four people who invited me to speak. The rest of the room full of individuals were very stone-faced. And there was a break after my presentation before they went into question and answers. An elderly gentleman walked up to me, and he asked me if I knew what happened to people like me who came down there to talk about race relations and open housing. And he pulled his suit jacket back, and he was packing. He had a pistol, and he closed it. He gave me the message. After that, I wasn't able to really concentrate on much of what was happening. I just wanted to get out of there. When the meeting ended, I was driving back to Norman, and I noticed in my rearview mirror that a vehicle was following me. It had been following me for quite a distance. And I said to myself, what if it's that man? And that's when I had my epiphany, and I knew that I was ready to live up to my principles of civil rights and nonviolence. I remember when I said it might be him. Then I also said to myself out loud, if it happens, meaning if it's him and he does indeed kill me, it happens. And I knew then, I talked about being ready, but I knew that I was ready to die for my beliefs then. And surely, many of the civil rights freedom riders and the others must have also had a similar epiphany as they went about their business. If it happens, it happens. You pray that it doesn't, but if it does, it's going to. I got home and I told my wife about it. She just shook her head and we never spoke of it again.
Was there any kind of freedom that came from that realization? Que sera, sera. If it happens, it happens. I'll know I'm dying for a good cause.
Yes.
Did it come from that?
It did. What it did for me, it allowed me to say to myself that I have at least put my marker down. I've stated what my values and beliefs are. If my life is considered the ultimate, I'm willing to give the ultimate to stand by my beliefs and values.
The United Methodist Church rented a small house, which was next to the chapel, and you were having a meal there. Something happened.
It was Thanksgiving. We'd had a presentation, and we had talked about some things in the living room, and we adjourned to the dining area. A few, not minutes, but a few seconds after we had adjourned to the dining area to eat turkey and some other things to celebrate Thanksgiving before the students went on break, someone shot a bullet through the window in the area where we had had the meeting. If we had indeed had that meeting a few seconds longer, one or more of us might have been injured. We were ecstatic to have the building. We were indeed not sure how happy we were with the meeting, but that wasn't even our decision, because then the Methodist group decided that it was not in our best interest or their best interest for us to continue meeting there.
Was it then difficult to preach nonviolence to students after that happened?
Yes. It wasn't difficult for me to preach. It was difficult for them to accept. And for those who accepted, it was difficult for them to continue to adhere to it, because the violence seemed to escalate on campus after that. There were fights. This is when the ranks really started breaking, because there were fights between black athletes and non-black athletes with fraternity houses, one house in particular, that indeed had verbally assaulted some black females walking past the house. They came back and shared what had happened to them, and the black males then, en masse, the group of them, when and there was a fight between black males and white males. That spilled over into the athletic contest, into intramural games. We were spinning out of control. And I became more frustrated and more anxiety-ridden as things seemed to be, as the song goes, flip-sliding away.